find it difficult to follow our brother Jeff, but and he's taken us into some scenes into the Father's house, where there are pleasures forevermore. The New Testament, which Jeff has brought before us, obviously is in the light of the giving of the Holy Spirit. But I'd just like to take a number of scriptures from the Old Testament to bring the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the joy which maybe we would require. I'll turn first, I'll take the five references in the Psalms. The Psalms are the experiences of the, maybe it's an Old Testament saint, New Testament saint, the Lord Jesus Christ, the experience of a nation of Israel. And it's just the joy that's mentioned in a few of these Psalms that I'd like to bring before you, so we can appreciate the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of the Father which must be associated with that one. For it was the Father that received the Son back into those courts on high. I'll just take them in the order that they appear in the Psalms. And the first one, maybe you already know, chapter 16. And verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What can you see on a scripture such as that? The more you add, the more you may confuse. Self-explicit. Here was one, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was to go into death, into those depths of death, there to break the bands of death, that man might be delivered, taken from the thraldom of Satan, and delivered from one and onto another. Here, descending into hell, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. The Lord of glory, the Holy One of God, here we see going to such depths, such an agony, such a life, lived here, spotless, holy, without blemish. Think of the offerings we are having. The burnt offering there in God, what he was to God in his death. The meat offering, what he was to God in his life lived spotless and holy. The peace offering made peace by the blood of his cross. But that is to bring us to produce a note of praise and worship in our hearts to God the Father, all to God. And the sin offering there for what you and I had done. We realize the Lord of glory, the one who inhabited all eternity, they're dying for you and me. Where we couldn't enter, he entered. 3 hours of darkness, lying in a tomb. Lord's Day morning, I thought, there they laid him in a tomb. What a spectacle. Have you ever seen a dead man laid out on a table? The Lord of glory laid out in a tomb. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He knew his God. He knew his God was holy, both holy. He could not be left in that grave. He must rise again to the glory of his God and his Father. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures for the Son of God, the Son who these paths of life ended in obedience unto death. The one who had every right to live, no right to die, but gave himself, the willing victim, took upon himself flesh and blood. We ended up this afternoon, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 5 references to flesh and blood in the New Testament. I believe the last one is to do in Hebrews with the Lord Jesus Christ taking upon himself flesh and blood, that which wouldn't inherit the kingdom of God, he took upon himself so he might die, might go into those depths of death. I sink to the bottom of the mountains. The weeds are wrapped about my head. He was brought forth there in that type of Jonah. Turn to chapter 30, I think it is. Chapter 30, Book of Psalms. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Yesterday morning, we sang to him the conqueror of death, the one, the Passover, Christ, our Passover, has passed over for you. I will sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, give thanks. Is there anyone not giving thanks to the Lord? Giving thanks for all he's done. He gave his life. What can we give in remembrance of his death? and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We are dealing with holy things. We are brought into holiness. Leaven can't be permitted. Holiness of God, a little leaven. It's no matter what it is. A little leaven leavens the lump. And this is the verse I was wanting to get to. The second part. Weeping we endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sorrow may fill our hearts for a while. Sorrow of lost ones we have loved, lost ones we have known. Some we will see again, some never to see again. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord wept when he was here, but never as much as that night when he went into death, there to bring forth those at his coming. The next chapter is chapter 51 and verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. No, the Holy Spirit wasn't given here. It was a man, Caleb, says about him, he's a man of another spirit. A man, a great man of faith, Caleb. A man of another spirit. He wholly followed the Lord. A true disciple. Truly sanctified. Made meet for the master's use. Looked forward to an inheritance, Caleb. Never flinched, because the Lord had promised him years before, 45 years before, he promised that he would go into the land and possess the land. And he went in with Joshua and remembered what the Lord had said. He brought it back to Joshua's remembrance. Remember what the Lord had said. He was a believer. He believed what God had said, that he would receive the inheritance, and reminded Joshua what the Lord had said. Not Moses, the Lord had said that Caleb would receive it. And Caleb was rewarded because he believed and he was obedient and a faithful and true witnesses. It says of Caleb, he was an overcomer. And he certainly overcome. Didn't listen to the popular verdict of 10 men. He believed and came with a true report and was rewarded for his faithfulness. But here we have this sorrowful state where the psalmist had gone to such depths. He fears for his salvation. Fears that the Lord has left him. Maybe someone here tonight, maybe in a state whereby they may think they're unsaved, maybe lost, not sure about things, needing things confirming. But here he cries out, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Move on to a psalm later on. Psalm 105 and verse 43. "And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness." Time had begun in Abraham, when Abraham was told to leave his kindred and his country and his father, that he might go for the inheritance. But as time went on, Abraham seemed to lose track, ended up in Egypt, then back out. The message was that they would be in a strange land for 400 years. The time came, they were the Lord's people. Abraham had been given a promise. In all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And promises of God cannot fail. They must take their course. Our promises often fail. God's promises will come to pass. And here, the people were servants in Egypt. They needed the deliverance. They needed a strong hand, and Pharaoh was determined not to let them go. But when a strong man meets a stronger than he, then in fact he'll prevail. And the Lord triumphed gloriously. Think of the song which was sung by Moses. "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider hath he cast into the sea. And further down he led. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people whom thou hast redeemed." He led them forth, showed them mercy even when they had gone astray. And he would bring them in. He brought them out. He would bring them in. He said, "I will bring you out, plant you in the mountain, and mine inheritance." They were to be brought out and brought in. I was thinking when Ernie mentioned the Passover was kept in Egypt, was kept in the wilderness, was kept in the land, firstly by Joshua. But I thought for a while, we referred to Exodus 12. In Exodus 12 it said that they would remember the feast in the land. Why doesn't it say the wilderness? Well, the only reason I can give, maybe others, and think about it. I don't know whether the Passover was meant for the wilderness, but the journey in the wilderness from Egypt into the land should have only taken 11 days. And the Passover was held every year. It had just been held before they come out of Egypt. they hadn't have wandered, the Passover would have been kept first in the land through Joshua at Gilgal. And he brought forth his people with joy. What a joy must have filled his heart when the people were brought forth. There he could the blast of his nostrils, the waters stood on a heap. On two sides a wall, onto the left and the right, and they went through on dry ground. Marvellous. But man trying to do it in the flesh. Pursued Israel. Israel were under the hand of God. And they were to be brought forth. But they, when they tried to do the same, the waters came back and drowned. He brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. I'm not sure who the chosen is, whether it is the people or whether it is another. Perhaps you could help me on that. But on the other side of the page, there is a suggestion. Verse 26, the 105, the 105th Psalm, verse 26. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. He brought forth his people with joy, his chosen with gladness. Next psalm is later on. I don't think anyone's got any buses to catch. I'll carry on for a little bit. Psalm 126. In verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Christ, the first fruits, they that are Christ's at his coming. They that sow in tears. Did anyone sow in tears as much as the Lord Jesus Christ? How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. The Lord Jesus Christ, spreading his wings, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. To many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He went forth sowing precious seed, weeping, and is ready now to come again. Pentecost past, we are waiting the day when he shall come into the air again, to take his home again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He's coming for us. Eventually he's going to come for Israel. He's going to deliver them with a mighty deliverance. The whole creation shall feel the benefit of the coming again of the Son of God. for his people. No doubt there'll be a cleansing. Hebrews talks of a shaking. He's shaking the earth once. He spoke from heaven, and he's speaking from heaven today in love. He's speaking in peace. Peace has been made. Speaking in tender love and mercy to mankind today. But there's coming such a shaking that those things that are shaken will then be removed, only to leave those things that will stand. What are you holding on to in this life? Are you holding on to things that are shaken? Or are you holding on to things which cannot be shaken? We've come in Christianity to that which far exceeds anything that Israel ever had, or in a sense ever will have. For the saints shall they enter that heavenly bliss, when the earthly people shall take up their place. Heavens and the earth shall rejoice in that day. The mountains shall drop down with wine. Hills shall flow with milk. Such a throne, fountain of the Lord, be revived and flow with water. Spring up. Such a day, the trees shall clap their hands. Rugged places shall be made smooth. The lion, the wolf and the lamb shall lie together. Lion shall eat straw like the bullock. What a change. Man tries to do certain things. Where could he start to do such things as will happen when the Lord Jesus comes and there delivers his own people with a mighty deliverance? There, with blood-stained garments, he shall judge and remove that which is an obstacle for Israel to take up their land in the promised land. Nothing will come in the way when the Lord Jesus decides that Israel will be brought back in. The Lord is faithful. Israel were unfaithful, but he is faithful. We oftentimes unfaithful, but the Lord is faithful. God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of his Son. And that fellowship, if his Son, brings us into the fellowship of his Father, communion with the Son and with the Father. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's not flesh and blood, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. New Testament. Righteousness established at the cross of Christ. Peace established at the cross of Christ. Joy established at the cross of Christ. Maybe we would think, where's the joy in the cross of Christ? The Father's joy. The Father delighted in no other place more so than at the cross of Christ, when his well-beloved Son fulfilled his will in going into death, that which he had been sent for, to come and die for mankind and to redeem his people. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The disciples knew something of the joy of the Holy Ghost in Acts 13, I think. They had been thrown out of the city, but could have been filled with sadness. No doubt they were, up to a point. The Gentiles had come in, they shook the dust off their feet, but they went full of the joy of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the present day, our joy is in none other than the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our hearts and in our midst. I would just probably refer to one other scripture in Hebrews, and that's chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If we have any troubles, if we suffer any persecutions, think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your weariness will be turned into strength when you think of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through there, suffering, enduring at the hands of mankind, but was not left in hell. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Perhaps we may think more of him at the right hand of the throne of God and be detached from the things of time and sense, which will be shaken and removed forever.